All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to Friendly at Daisy Podcast, a podcast where Dave recently told me he loves to drink Scottish whiskey and wouldn't drink a Guinness even if he was 3 weeks lost in the Sahara Desert.
Yeah, that's true. Love a bit of fucking Scottish whiskey. And Irish Guinness. It's not my favourite, but it is not terrible.
Oh, shit. I thought you were really going to give me a lecture then.
No, I wasn't going to give you a lecture. Like, Guinness to me, like, is a stout, but it's the OG of stouts. Like, I preferred that stout from your stag do.
Oh, so, like, is Guinness... Because I'm not a stout drinker at all. Yeah. So is Guinness, like...
The most famous, like, stout.
No, I get that. Is it like a Jacob's cracker? It's just a standard cracker.
Yes, it's the standard one, but it's the OG one.
But then you get, like, maybe a black pepper cracker, which is just adds that extra little flavour to the cheese. And then you can tell, like, Christmas is around the corner, at least for us recording, right? So yeah. I'm thinking about all the cheese I'm going to eat. And that's, like, all the other stouts that you
like.
Yeah,
you can get the other stouts. Like, they come and go, but then Guinness is the long stander.
Okay, all right. Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, the first time I had a Guinness, I must have been 16 or 17. And I was with Ricky.
Of course you were.
And I was round this girl's house called Lucy. And there was Lucy and Megan, and there was myself and Ricky. And, you know, we were, I don't even know what we're doing. We're just hanging out. I think she had, like, a drum kit in her basement or some shit like that. It was fucking weird. But we found this, like, can of Guinness. And I thought, all right, I'll try it. Opened it, drunk a bit of it. And it was fucking, it was so warm. Like, it's like it had been out in the sun for a bit. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
And I haven't touched Guinness since. It was not for me. It put me off big time.
Stouts are ones that... I wouldn't session drink a stout. It turns your shit black and it gives you this metallic taste in your mouth. It's not, like, my biggest thing, man.
Shit black? Is that a thing?
Yeah, your shit just basically turns black because Guinness is black as fuck.
But, so far, if you've got gonorrhea... And drink a lot of Guinness.
Yeah.
You've got green willy bogeys.
Yeah.
Green willy bogeys and black shit.
Yeah.
This is not how I thought this podcast was going to go.
And then if you eat asparagus, your piss stinks.
We've got an interview today, Dave. With an official BI employee.
I know. I can't believe they wanted to be on with us.
We need to get our act together. We need to get all this shit out of our system now because we need to be out on our best behaviour.
Yeah, that's right? True.
No willy jokes from you.
Oh. Willy, bam, yep. Bam.
No Irish jokes.
No. They wouldn't take kindly to that.
And, well, that's about it, really. I can't think of any more rules.
No, we can't think of any more rules, can we?
Nah. Wonderful. Okay. And and by the way,
yeah.
Don't mention Sephora.
Okay. Still going on.
Oh my
God,
that is such an outdated reference. Do you reckon anyone listen to this podcast? Do you know what that's from? Don't tell him your name, Pike.
Don't tell him your name, Pike. Ah, Pike. You're giving us soggy chips.
Now, if people, because we haven't told anybody our age, we're 100 and something episodes in.
Yeah.
No one actually knows how old we are. And I think the references we come out with completely confuse people sometimes.
Yeah, but then I know literally every meme. So every stream, everyone's like, how do you know so many memes? I just do. Damn, Daniel.
Damn, Daniel was like fucking 12 years ago.
Oh, you see, but then I come out with some of the new ones as well. Like, hey. Hey, I'm a female police officer, and I find that highly offensive.
Before I get too fucking hot and sweaty, let's just crack on with this episode, shall we?
Yeah, let's roll the intro.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, no. Oh, no, it's beginning already. I told my, I had a word on myself today. Don't do a shit Irish accent.
You caught yourself. You started doing it and then you caught yourself.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a tendency to jump into Scottish, don't we, Andy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where that comes
Terrible.
From.
Terrible. I don't know where this comes from either. It's awful.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Are you recording through like a laptop mic or something at the moment?
Hang on, maybe I am. 1 second, let me check my audio. Should be good. Ah, yes, sorry. Webcam mic.
There we go.
Wonderful. There we go.
Yes, right. Good. Thanks for telling me. I do have my webcam as well, so it's up to you whether you want to have me enable it or not. I don't mind either way.
Dave, what are you saying, mate? I'm really not that fussed, to be fair.
It's only if you want to see our faces. They're not great.
Yeah, that's it.
Mine's slightly worse than Andy's, but it's all right.
I get to see your faces on the thumbnails anyway, so I think that's enough, right?
Oh, thanks. I take offence to that.
I'm a female police officer.
Fucking hell. You need to get a new fucking meme, Dave.
Oh, it's just how it goes at work, mate.
I guess we'll start off with an icebreaker.
Let's go for it.
Now, we have got a couple of... Dave, I need to clear out these icebreakers. Some of them are just pants. Like,
I like the top one.
What's that one? Are you Amish?
Yeah.
let's not use that one again.
Let's not use that one. Right?
Recycling more than Greta Thunberg if we do that. What about if you could have any Disney character as your sidekick, who would that be?
Oh my God. Disney side character. Jeez, you put me on the spot now because I don't really watch much Disney stuff.
Oh. What about when you were a kid? Like, what was your favorite Disney as a kid?
I don't really remember. What would have been around at the time?
Well, I don't know how old Lion you King. Are. Are you talking like fucking Tangled era or Aladdin era?
No, he's definitely Aladdin era. He's our era.
Yeah, I'm only 26. I'm not that old. Give me some credit.
Oh, you are. Oh, my God. That hurts.
He's a weird child, Dave.
Oh, no.
He is.
Am I? Oh, God. Am I younger than both of you?
Not
yes, by
put
some.
Together.
Really?
I don't know what that means.
No, we're not double your age, but we're not like Boydie, which is like double your age. You know,
yeah, Boydie's double the age of everybody around him. So. Yeah. Oh God, right?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to work if you're like still a. I mean, I don't know. You're a child. What Disney film did you last watch?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm trying to think. I am trying to think. What would be some of the Disney films out there?
Hercules.
Haven't watched.
No, that's older.
You haven't watched? Yeah, I don't know what. All right.
Jungle Book.
That's old as dick, Dave.
Know. No, but I'm going all the ones that they've turned into like real life animation ones, not like
Lion
the
King.
Ones we watch. Yeah, Lion King.
Okay, Lilo I've and seen Stitch.
I've definitely seen The Lion King when I was younger. That's all definitely right. One. I think everybody's seen that movie though, right?
So I think the first thing we're learning is not a Disney fan.
Not a movie fan, really.
Not a movie fan.
Not even a movie fan. No, no.
TV?
I watch some TV shows, but not a movie fan. Don't know why, but yeah, it's just something. I don't know.
What TV are you watching? What are you watching at the moment?
At the moment, I'm watching a new series that came out called Landman.
Oh, okay. No, I heard that.
Some American... TV show. It's about them digging for oil and stuff. You'd think it was boring, but it's actually kind of interesting. It was all over. I doom scroll on TikTok from time to time, and it came up on my TikTok a lot of times. So I was like, oh, gotta check this out. So I googled this, and yeah, I'm currently watching that at the moment. It's better than I expected it to be. So yeah,
all right,
fair play.
Okay, well, I guess icebreaker unsuccessfully successful.
Yeah, we learned what we needed to.
Or successfully unsuccessful. One of the two. Oh, shit, we didn't do any quickfire questions.
No, we didn't.
Shit.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't even write any down.
Well, we've got some ones that we've used before.
Well, if you want to fire them at me,
all right,
it's up to
I'm
you.
I'm going to change one of them.
Okay.
I'm going to change.
Oh, okay.
Because some of them won't make sense because you're going to have a bias, and some of them were...
They failed the first time, so we have to get rid of them.
Yeah, like the Are You Amish one. That can dip. Or I can get rid of that.
Yeah.
Confirm I'm not.
Ah, that's good.
Good to know.
What about AK or M4?
Oh, which AK? Or just in general?
Big boy, AKM.
AKM.
AKM. AKM. Oh, man. I'd have to go M4. Ooh. Yeah, I'd have to go M4.
Deal. All right. Rustler's Burger. Smash or pass?
Pass.
Oh. Do you know what? Actually, I've not had a Rustler's burger in a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not for ages. Yeah, microwaving a button. No, thanks. You can keep it.
All right, what's your Greg's order?
We don't have Greg's.
You're kidding me.
No, there's no Greg's in Ireland that I'm aware of. And there's not, definitely none here in Prague.
No.
Swear to God.
Oh, yeah, that was another question I was going to get to. Bloody hell. Yeah.
Mm.
So,
well, they have a spud you like, though.
A spud I like.
Yeah.
Roosters.
Oh.
Mm. Nice.
Am I like missing the point of what that is? What am I missing there?
That's a fast food restaurant in the Republic of Ireland.
Right. Are you from Republic of Ireland?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
That's the accent.
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
It's the accent.
I don't. Yeah.
Now my accent has been told that it's quite posh, so I sound like I'm not from Ireland, but from Ireland at the same time, it's very weird. So I don't know.
No, yours is
100% Irish.
100% okay, Irish. That's good to know.
I work with a guy from Jersey, and they don't have like Nando's or anything. That fucking blows my mind as well.
We don't. I think there's like maybe two in Ireland, as far as I know. I've never been to one because they're not where I was local anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucked, man.
Are you blown our mind? You're blowing our mind from the start.
I don't think there's any in Prague either.
Yeah, I don't really. What is Nando's? Like, where's it from? I know, like, it's like Portuguese cuisine or whatever it is, but it's not from there, though, is it? It's like fake Portuguese.
No idea.
It's owned by a South African.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh. Dave is a wealth of knowledge of South Africa.
That's, yeah.
It's weird. It's weird.
It's not weird. I've been forced. I'm joking. Which musical artist could you never get bored of?
Oh, God.
God, does he do music?
No, not God. Not God.
Protestant jokes, Dave. All right.
Bored of. Oh, God. Right.
Yeah, Henry the Eighth. No, I'm joking.
Never get bored of. God, that's a good question again. Fred again.
Ooh. Mm. Fred again?
Yes.
What's that?
Oh, my God, you're so old.
Yeah, we are. We actually are. In that respect, I got it.
DJ producer. He's English.
Yeah, that's also not my genre.
Yeah, it's understandable, so.
And he still wears like a chain from his front pocket to his back pocket.
With my stopwatch. What?
No. With his Linkin Park jeans on.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, I thought you were going like, I was an oldie woldie, like old timer.
Oh, no, I'm not on about Sir Killington. Was it? What's that guy called? Buzz Killington.
Sure. What's the most annoying thing other players do in game?
Oh, that's a good question. Most annoying thing. I think the answer that probably comes straight to mind, but I don't know if it's my personal one, but the answer that comes straight to mind would be KOS. But then I also KOS, so I feel like I can't use that one. The most annoying thing somebody could do in game.
Boy, it is really annoying when someone KOSs you.
Yes. Loot cycle.
Yeah.
Loot cycle. I think that's the most annoying.
Loot cycling. Oh,
loot cycling's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, it boils up an anger inside you that you don't even know if they have been loot cycling. You just see a bit of loot in the wrong place. You go, bastards have been loot cycling here. Fuck you.
Sometimes they make it very obvious, though, and all the loot is out of where it's not meant to be, and everything else is empty, and you're like, oh, okay, somebody's around, and somebody's just hit this recently, and you're like, God damn it. Yeah, that's probably one of the more annoying things.
Oh, yeah. What's the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you while streaming?
While streaming? I haven't had many embarrassing moments, I don't think. There's two that come to mind, I guess. When I was living in Ireland, I had an apartment and it was not in the nicest area or part of the city, we'll say. And one time I had a policeman knock on my door who was looking to arrest somebody that wasn't me, thankfully. And then the other time I was not streaming myself, but I was on another stream on the other podcast that shall not be named on this episode.
Well, it will, so that's fine.
And there was two junkies fighting outside my window.
Oh, shit.
And you could hear them screaming and shouting through my microphone, through the thing. Yeah. So that was not embarrassing, I'd say, but it was awkward.
Junkies. I've not heard that word in a long time.
I think it's such a good word, man.
We just call them crackheads. So, doesn't matter who crackheads, it is. Just yeah, crackheads.
Same thing, right?
But, I just call them locals.
they've just called them mum and dad.
Friends and family. I give them guys my discount.
But yeah, that was probably the most embarrassing and awkward thing that's happened.
One last one to pick a military area. Myshkino tents or Pavlovo?
Ooh. Damn. Two bad ones.
Whoa, okay.
Mainly,
go on.
I'll tell you why. Myshkino is a sniper's paradise, I think.
Yeah.
Somebody's always camping somewhere around Myshkino. And then Pavlovo, it's kind of the same thing, but people are camping usually on the rocks that are on Pavlovo, kind of on the hill. You can sit on the rocks and shoot down. But before Pavlovo was a toxic zone, I used to go there all the time, so I'd have to say Pavlovo. I haven't been to Myshkino in a long time.
Oh, really? I've not been to Pavlovo in a long time. Go to Myshkino quite
same.
A lot now.
Yeah, since the gas, I haven't really been there much.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. All right, cool. Quick fire. We kind of scraped our way through that, Dave. Well done.
Yeah, nice. Good save.
Yes, it was good.
Oh, dear.
Hello.
So we're going to cover off a few different aspects about you and your relationship with DayZ. I think you've got a very unique viewpoint, let's say, of DayZ. Obviously, you're a player for a long time. You've been a podcast host, a content creator, and most recently, a community manager. And we kind of want to attack them at different points so we can talk about them like in their full breadth, right?
Sounds good.
So let's start off then with your content creation. Let's learn a little bit about what makes Marks Marks and why you're now where you are, I guess. So we'll start at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, damn. Where does it start? I used to, before even making DayZ videos or anything like that, I used to make Minecraft videos. I think at some point, everybody's always made Minecraft videos.
Yeah.
When they were younger. I've made videos on GTA, obviously Call of Duty, started playing and recording on the PS3.
Ooh.
Yeah, back a good few years ago. And made really, really bad content that I deleted. And to be honest with you, I regret deleting all of that old footage because it would have been so nice to look back on, but none of it exists anywhere, which is unfortunate.
It's so final as well, isn't it? When you delete something off of YouTube, it goes, this will be deleted forever.
Yeah, and I even looked into ways of like, oh, is it possible that they might have backup somewhere? But no, it's not, unfortunately. Made your typical trash videos that I think everybody makes when they're in their teenage years, you know, your Minecraft Let's Plays, your Call of Duty videos, your montages, all this stuff. And I then upgraded from a console to my first PC, which was your bog standard desktop PC that you would have, you know, in an office, for example.
Yeah.
I could barely run Minecraft at the time, but ran it well enough that I could play it. At the time, I didn't really know about FPS counts and all this stuff. So, you know, it was just as long as I could play it, that's all that mattered.
Yeah.
And then eventually upgraded to my first gaming PC. And the main reason I'd done that was because I wanted to play a little known game called DayZ Standalone, which had released, it must have only been a couple of months, I'd say, at the time, maybe about a year it had been out. And I was watching a lot of, obviously, Frankie on PC with his armor, two mod videos, and then it went on to Standalone. And that was obviously a big inspiration. Mm-hmm. And who else? Soviet Womble was another person.
Yeah, yeah.
Gold Glove was another person.
Gold Glove? I've not heard that name before.
Yeah, he's an American streamer. I think he streams a lot of different games, but back when Standalone was like popular, he was like really, really popular when it came to DayZ. And yeah, there was a few more like that. I think there's more and I can't remember them off the top of my head, but watching a lot of Standalone videos. And so I was finishing some exams at the time in school and my grandparents were like, hey, you do well in these, we'll buy you a gaming PC. I did well enough that I was able to get a gaming PC, was able to build it with my friend, and the first game I booted up was Standalone. And then I think from there, my first DayZ video was Pint, God, it must have been either 0.5 4.55 of the alpha version. I think I have some videos of those that I didn't delete. I do have like privated on my channel.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so started making, you know, your typical gameplay videos, and then I started up focusing a bit on updates. And of course, back then there was no admin tools or no really community servers or anything, right? So if you wanted to make an update video, you had to get onto the live server and just go around and try and find everything new that was added that update.
Yeah.
That was the way you had to do it. And yeah, they were terrible videos, got awful again. I did some videos then talking about what could possibly be coming in the future for DayZ and all this stuff. And yeah, went from there and skipped forward then a good few years. Kept making those, you know, typical videos, nothing amazing. And then 2020 lockdowns happened. I was sitting in my house like, okay, everybody's at home. I have nothing to do. Why not give this YouTube thing a decent go? And
yeah,
we'll go from there. And yeah, it just, I think the combination of giving it a go then, plus the lockdowns, plus DayZ suddenly getting a surge in popularity, plus everybody being at home watching content, it all just came together at a very good time.
Was that what kicked you off with streaming, DayZ, then? Was it like the lockdown period, or had you streamed before that?
Again, I had made some videos and streamed a little bit. I've never been a big fan of the live streaming side of stuff. I always preferred making videos. I just found it more creative, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's still like I don't stream a lot nowadays, but I do every once in a while. So yeah, it was the lockdowns was the main reason for it.
Yeah, I think that put a breath in so many content creators where loads of people started streaming around that period. I mean, you've got Freshborns. I think Holly Rex was in that list as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's loads of people. I mean, I picked it up at that point. Everybody gave it a shot because basically we had fuck all else to do, didn't we?
So. Literally, yeah. It was cool like that. And yeah, just started making videos. And I think DayZ Expansion had been out maybe a year beforehand. So I should backtrack a bit, I guess. DayZ Expansion released, I think it was in 2019. I could be wrong on the date, but around that time.
I think it was
time.
Towards the end or maybe early 2020.
Yeah, it was sometime around there. And I made a video, I think it came out like on the day or the day after on DayZ Expansion. It got like 80,000 views in a week or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one of the videos that like took me off. It just like the channel started to kind of explode from that. And yeah, just started streaming with that and kept grinding at it. And just ended up going where we are today, really.
So what come first? Was it your first stream or your first 1,000 hours in the game?
It would have to be a stream.
Really? So for all of those years, you don't think you put 1,000 hours in?
No, because I don't know if you know, but do you want to guess how many hours I currently have in game right now? You'll be shocked, I think, at how many I have.
Oh no, you're either about to put us to shame or it's going to be criminally low. I'm going to go, you're going to put us to shame, and I'm going to say 13,500.
Okay. All right.
Dave?
I'm going to guess, because of the way of on your voice, I'm going to say you've got about 7,000 hours.
Wow, you're both extremely high.
Wow, okay.
I have just about 3,500 hours in game.
God damn, okay.
Yeah.
I was the closest, though.
Experimental, you're probably getting a bit closer to 4,000 in total, but yeah, it's very little compared to majority of DayZ creators.
I agree. Dave, we should start doing that. We should start keeping a leaderboard of how many hours people have got.
I don't know if that could be quantified, as like obviously some people picked up the game later than others. Do you know what I mean? Like PC people and blah blah blah, but yeah.
Don't care.
I won't reveal any numbers, but I know there are some creators out there that have insane number of hours in this game. Just wild.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at people that stream 4 days a week, like TRMZ or whatever, and you can quite quickly see how that person might have like high teen thousand, you know?
Yeah.
That's like, okay, you stream like fucking 8, 9, 10 hours a day, and I only get maybe 4 hours a week. So, you know, that it makes sense.
It all adds up over time.
Yeah, that's it. And you do that for the last 10 years. Whoa, it's easy. Yeah. So what are the biggest challenges you think you faced when you did your copy, when you were doing your content creation, whether that's the streaming or the video content creation? Is it coming up with new ideas or keeping people engaged?
I think the biggest one that even I face still today, and is coming up with ideas. You're always trying to come up with ideas that, well, for me anyway, I think my stuff is a little bit different to the rest. I try to, you know, a lot of people do the, I built this base over here and I have this many hours in game. And that doesn't really interest me, nor do I have the time to do it now.
Yeah.
So I try to come up with stuff that maybe hasn't been done before or has only been done a little bit and I can put a twist to it or something like that. Yeah, I think definitely coming up with new ideas is the most difficult part of it, for me anyway.
Well, let's not just ask question answer. Let's have some rapport, Dave, shall we? I thought you were used to this by now. I thought you were a semi-professional podcaster.
I'm semi-something, but not professional.
fuck me, what even was I going to ask? So, coming up with ideas. I feel that. So we like to maybe make a few clips or shorts or whatever on our YouTube, and most of the time it's just, let's just see what happens. If something cool happens, I'll do it out of that. But there are content creators that go out with a plan to do X, Y, Z, and you know, and it takes them a hell of a long time to do it, to be fair. But I can't fathom where that attitude comes from. You know, I just don't have that in me.
Yeah, like I had two ideas that I wanted to do over the weekend. I had two video ideas I wanted to do. I tried them both and failed both of them. They're just, it takes a lot of stuff. Like for me, it takes the idea, then I have to find the right server, then I have to get the right interactions for it to work. And yeah, it was two kind of interaction type videos and they just fell apart. So yeah, it can be stressful at times.
Well, that's the nature of Daisy, isn't it, really? You might go for a run and find the best person you've ever had a run with, but then same token, you might actually not meet anybody that wants to be friends. And what's it called? A flick of the coin? Is that even the right saying? Toss of a coin.
Yeah,
whatever. But who knows? And if you go out with that kind of plan and it doesn't come true, then I guess if people like us, we have limited time to be able to do that stuff. It's the full-time content creators that get the, get the liberty, I guess, to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's true. And that's one of the things as well that's been very hard to readjust to is, you know, finding the time after work, you know, during the evenings or the night or your weekends to be able to schedule all these type of stuff. So it is, it's difficult, but, you know, it's part of it.
It's rude not to mention that you were one of the co-hosts of the other podcast, 87.8, for a while. So just tell me, is it true Boydie actually wears a face mask on because his face is, like, horrendously ugly?
Yes.
Oh, we knew it.
We got an exclusive, boys. We got an exclusive. Send it to press.
He's ugly. He's an ugly swine.
Yes, he is. And hey, you're just seeing what's on camera. I met him in the night at the event.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Was that the first time you guys met?
Yeah. It's the first time in person, yes.
Like IRL, yeah.
Yeah.
That's mad. So, I mean, I guess we can touch on that event as well, right? But that was all a bit big secret, and we can come onto that in the community manager section. But how was the 87.8 thing, I guess? Obviously, I mean, being that involved in a completely new and different element must have been a little bit alien to begin with. But I mean, you did it for a little while, right?
Yeah, I don't know how long. It must have been a year or so, I'd say.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was interesting, a totally different format to what I was used to. You know, I like to, again, I don't like doing stuff live that much. I prefer pre-recording stuff, and everything with the podcast was done live.
So wait there a minute. You really like the pre-recorded stuff? Yeah?
Yes.
Sweet. You heard it right there, guys. He loves R1 first. Yes, our fucking format. He loves ours first.
I can see the headlines now. X87.8 podcast host admits pre-recorded is best.
It definitely is. But it was a weird thing to get used to, but then over time you get used to it, right? I was already used to talking and being part of a conversation. And when you're talking about something you know quite a bit about, that being DayZ, it can flow quite well. And before you know it, you can kind of forget that you're even on the podcast. You just get into the flow of things. So
yeah, just a chat.
Yeah, it was definitely good, to be honest, a good experience to have. And yeah,
I mean, it definitely got your name about, I guess. They got a rather large following, 87.8. And when you got announced as the community manager, a lot of people already knew who you were, not just because of your own content creation, but because of that avenue as well. So, I mean, that obviously maybe, well, I don't know, it probably made things go a bit smoother. I'm not sure.
Maybe. Yeah, it's difficult, right, when you become community manager or something like that, or you announce you got a job like that and you're already known within the community. It can be good, but it can also be bad at the same time. It worked well. It worked well.
Friendly?
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
I want to move on and talk a little bit about then your role as a community manager.
Yes.
You joined BI as a community manager at a historically momentous time for BI, right?
Yeah.
First, I want you to talk to us about what is a community manager, what's your goal, and how do you go about doing that?
Community manager is, I suppose, you're the middleman between the community and the dev team, is the best way to describe it. So you are on socials looking at either feedback that's coming in from players, you're looking at reports of any bugs or anything that might be broken at the time, and you're obviously reporting that back to the dev team. And then if the dev team has any announcements or stuff like that, they'll give you the information, and you know, we'll put it out there either in tweets or with the dev streams or anything like that. And yeah, it's a lot of social media work. You know, you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all of the different platforms that we're on. You're monitoring everything, your communication. If something goes down, say like servers go down or something like that, you're gathering reports, you're prepping tweets in case, you know, we have to post something to give up information and stuff. I think mine might also include some more. So, you know, at the moment, I can't say what I'm working on, but I'm doing some video editing for certain stuff and bits and pieces like that. Obviously, the live stream as well, which is a big part of it. The streaming room that we have is basically my second office. So, yeah, I'm going between the two.
That's a pretty sick room, to be fair. All your little knickknacks and stuff. And
it is cool. It is a cool room. I remember actually when I arrived and I got like the tour of the building and stuff, and I'd never seen the room in person, obviously, only on the streams. And then so I was like, okay, we'll go up to the stream room now. And you open the door and you walk in, you're like, wow, okay, this is it, you know, from the other angle.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool to see in person. But I'm used to it now. I walk in there and I'm like, oh yeah, it's just, you know, just my room.
What does the wall that you guys are looking at look like?
The wall that, oh, it's just soundproof foam.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
And a couple of monitors.
Yeah, literally. That's it.
Yeah. You know, you say that you, you know, you go through all that social media looking for like feedback, and then you look at, you obviously come up against some negative feedback. Obviously, you're going to come across a lot of positive feedback. Do you listen to the podcast me and Andy partake in, and do you get any feedback from that at all?
Yeah, we listen to it all. So all the podcasts we would be keeping an eye on. Whether it might not always be me because there's so much stuff to go through, but there is other members of the team that listen to your podcast. The other podcasts that are out there, there's four of you in total now so far. So yeah, we're always keeping an eye out. And you have to listen to both feedback, right? The positive and the negative.
I just want to take the opportunity to, well, just wholeheartedly apologize for the last 100 and something episodes. It was, you know, it was a test bed. We were just trying a few things out, and we promise to do better.
Yeah.
Hey, you're all good so far. You're still up. You haven't gotten any cease and desist, so you're doing good so far.
Right. Okay. So the community manager before you was Scotty. So he was the community manager for a long time. Ooh. Now, I might be getting this wrong, but you can correct me in a minute.
Yeah. Go on.
how does filling those rather large shoes feel?
So I'll correct you on the first part first. So there's Scotty was at one stage the community manager. Then it was Lynn, another guy in the office.
Oh,
then it
right,
was
okay.
Another woman before me who done it and then left.
Oh, Maropa.
Maropa's still there.
Oh.
And there was another woman that I never got to meet, but I replaced her. And so there's usually four of us in total. We're not all community managers, but there's like a team of four of us, you know, for Daisy.
Okay.
So, and it was fairly nerve-wracking to like fill the shoes because you're always thinking like, oh my God, am I suitable enough for this job? Am I good enough for the job? Like, oh my God, what if I do this and do that? And yeah, so you spend your, well, I spent my first week not really having to learn a crazy amount because, you know, I obviously knew kind of, you know, how it works in a way, you know, with being involved in social media and all of this stuff, which helped. But it was daunting, definitely daunting for like the first week. You're like, oh God. But now it's fine. It's you settle into it.
It's jumping in the deep end, isn't it? It's warm once you're in, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, it's good having a team like Scotty and Lynn and Murpa around there. You know, they offered and still do any help that's needed. You know, any questions you have, just ask, and they're there to help. So that's always great as well.
Good.
So, what did you do before you were a community sports? So what was your profession before?
So I was actually going to college at the time, which would have been 2019, roughly.
Mm.
I was going to study in programming and hated it. And I dropped out. And then a couple of months later, lockdowns happened. So I was in lockdown, didn't really do anything. I just kind of done my YouTube thing. And done that pretty much up until I got the community manager role. So the community manager role is like my first full-time job.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Shit, dude. Well, I'm so...
Yeah,
I'm almost a little bit proud of you without sounding condescending. I don't mean it like that. I'm like, fuck, man. That's like... I'm envious almost. I feel that that might be the right word. That's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that made it a little bit more nerve-wracking. Being like, oh, you know, everything's kind of totally changing and everything's new. But that's how it went.
How did it all go down then? Did you apply for the role? Did you get contacted for the role?
So it actually kind of rolls into with the Daisy event that happened in May.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they invited myself and 9 other creators, or was it 10 in total? I think it was 10 other creators out for the week to reveal Daisy Frostline. And I had no idea that I was even being considered for this. And I was at the event. There was I was talking to some people and they were like, hey, this position's possibly becoming available. Would you be interested? And I was like, sure, yeah, why not? I'm not going to turn down that type of offer, right? And so they were like, okay, cool. And that was kind of it. I was like, okay, cool. And about a month later, they were like, hey, position is open to apply for. So I applied and it was an open thing. So anybody could have applied. It was a public thing on the BI website.
I remember seeing
that. So applied like anybody else. And yeah, I don't know how long it was. Maybe two weeks or so went by and got an email and my thing. It was like, hey, we want to offer you this job.
That's pretty quick, like, to be fair.
It was a couple of weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks or something. It wasn't like crazy long. And done the interview, got it. And then a few days later, I heard back and they were like, okay. Have you on.
So you're living out in Prague at the moment. Is that like a requirement of the role? Because obviously it's like very digital, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was for this role anyway. Yes, it was a requirement to move, which at the time, like it was just myself in Ireland. I didn't really have obviously family there and stuff, but like I didn't have anything holding me back from moving. So I said, why not? It's an opportunity. I've always kind of wanted to move country and see what that's like. And this is literally the best opportunity for, you know, having a job and moving as well. So
yeah.
Oh, that sounds lovely, man.
Are you learning Czech?
I am. It is extremely, extremely difficult.
I bet.
Yeah. It is apparently one of the most difficult languages in the world to learn.
Excellent.
Well,
good luck with that, Marks.
Thank you. I'm going to need all of it.
How does being the community support manager?
You can say community support officer.
Yeah, community support officer.
You're a PCSO now, Marks, all right?
Hey.
Shut up.
He is the community manager.
Sorry, excuse
me. So how does that stack up to your expectations when you applied? Like, is this role what you thought it was going to be, better or I know you can't say but worse than you thought.
Completely different, he means. He means completely different.
Yes, yeah, indifferent.
Different, yeah. Honestly, it's about what I expected, yeah. About what I expected. Yeah, I think when I was obviously applying for it and stuff, you're like, yo, am I going to be good enough for this role and stuff? Like, will I...
Yeah.
All the things that they ask of me to do, will I be able to do them? And been able to do pretty much everything, I think. And yeah, it's about what I expected. Maybe a little bit different, but in like a good way.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's been so far anyway, there's been nothing out of the ordinary that I didn't expect to be doing.
Do you find it difficult, or it might not even be a requirement, so this might be a learning point, but keeping your own bias out of your work, I guess, because you have a love for the game naturally anyway. I don't know, how does that work?
Yeah, it's weird, right? It's... You love the game, obviously, and you're passionate about it, and you have a bit of both. I always like to give feedback, whether it be good or negative feedback, right? Any feedback is good feedback, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I tried to look at it in two ways. I tried to look at it in my own view, but then I also tried to look at it in the point of the community. And I also did that while making videos, because you kind of get used to it at a stage, being like, okay, this is what the community feels like they want. And then they add this or change that. And they're like, I like it, but the community is going to be not so happy about it, you know, that way. So it can be difficult at times, but you just got to think, you know, before you maybe give any feedback or anything like that.
Okay. Is there anything that has shocked you since you joined, such as like, I didn't realize it worked like that, or wow, I didn't even know that was a thing?
No, nothing that was a major shock.
Oh.
No. Not at the moment anyway. I could go in tomorrow now and there'll be something that'll be the biggest shock yet, but no, I don't think anything that was a major shock.
Yeah.
Ooh.
No, yeah.
Has HR visited you yet? No, major. No. Inappropriateness.
I've only been there 10 times yet.
So. Oh, what a success. I like that place.
Not everyone collects HR visits like you do, Dave. He has a little loyalty card that you get from, you know, like you get from Starbucks. He's got one from HR.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I get a little like badge now when I leave, like, correction been done.
Need to get a gold star.
Yeah.
Friendly!
Just because BI are in Chechnya, how many itches work in the office? No, I'm only joking.
Just one of his names, lad. Oh.
Is it, do you need the cream and the tablets, or...
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, shit, I've just realised you work with lad.
Yeah.
I do, yes. Yeah.
Do you see him much?
Yeah, we're literally in the same office.
He's very hard to understand. In fact, it would probably be easier if you learnt Czech. Then talk to him.
Wait, you find it difficult to understand, do you?
No, we're joking. He's just from the north.
Oh, okay.
He's from right up north. He might as well be right up north. It's not even that. He's Geordie, like, isn't he? Yeah, he's Geordie.
I think so, yes. Yeah,
we think so. No one really knows.
Hard to understand. He's almost another language.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Sirkal and I guess BI's perspective of it. So this is when you can, I guess, really put on your community manager hat and talk to us as a community manager. So from, I guess, yours and BI's perspective, what were the expectations of Sirkal before it was released and then versus the reality afterwards?
Ooh. The expectations before it was released versus after. In what way? In terms of like the map, gameplay?
I guess maybe how it's going to be received by the community. We all know that the console are absolutely pining for A, a new map, but B, Winter Chernerus, and this kind of ticks their boxes, right, both. And every stream that you add is like, we want snow, we want a new map, we want snow.
Yeah.
And then there's just like one credit in chat saying Red 9 or something like that. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. But,
I mean, it was pretty much a guaranteed win for console, you know, open goal kind of thing. But for the PC community, maybe that was a little bit more difficult to score.
Yeah, you can say that. So yeah, for the console players, obviously it was a big deal. Even to this day, on Reddit, I see some posts where maybe a PC player is shitting on it, but you go into the comments and the console players couldn't be happier about it, right? Because it is brand new for them. completely yeah. brand new for them. New experience, new everything. So they're happy. They are really happy. For the PC players, it's probably going to be 50-50, you'd probably say, right? Most are going to like it.
Yeah.
Enjoy the new experience, even though we have modded stuff. The official stuff, I feel like, you know, that comes to the game is always has a different vibe and feel to it.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
And so you're going to have, you know, maybe people who only play official are going to be happy because they have a one now without having to play these modded servers and stuff. And you have, you know, the other side who are comparing it to Namask, right?
Right, right.
That's the big one. Well, why would we get this when we have Namask and stuff like that? And so, yeah, it's to be expected that some PC players were not going to be happy about it. Majority of the feedback, especially on launch anyway, was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. People enjoyed it. People, you know, obviously had their good and bad feedback about it, whether it was spawns or loot changes or stuff like this.
Yeah.
And yeah, but overall, I think it was received, I'd say, better than expected, if I were to say myself.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, it was definitely considered a great success.
A win.
Yes, a win, a big win.
No, that's good. That's good to see. Like, a lot of people yeah. put a lot of work into it. And mm-hmm. I have to disagree a little bit when you say the official content is has a different feel to the community content. Only in the view of the release of Sakao has kind of blurred that line a little bit.
Yeah.
Where mm-hmm. if you look at like the level design, the map design, and the buildings and all the shit lying around and the feel of that map, I feels more like a community map than an official map, which in my opinion is a good thing.
Yeah, I suppose it does make sense to me when you do have community members, you know, working on a map like that, right? They obviously yeah. they brought in Mike and they had DOJ, who is from the community, and people yeah. like these who, you know, were community members, right? So they could add that feel to it. So yes, you are right there. That probably does feel like that. And it's probably because, you know, we had those people on board.
Yeah, I think that's a great move. I think it's done. I think it's only had benefit towards it. Mm-hmm. I think it just has a complete new feel.
I will clarify as well. I'm not shitting on modders or anything like that. I obviously have a great respect for the modders and stuff, but there's always, personally anyway, there's always like that little difference between like a modded map and say an official map. Is like it's more polished, you know what I mean, because it goes through like QA and all of this difference, right? So
yeah,
that's what I mean by that. But yeah,
no, I agree with you, but the same token, I think those people who do release community maps are generally a handful of people, and you know, so that versus the actual developers of the game that they're making a mod for, I don't think it's a no contest, isn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
I don't think anyone's gonna berate you for that. Or mm-hmm. although, you know, probably someone somewhere, you know, but that's life.
Yeah, yeah.
Going from one great idea to another, in my opinion, the creator's 2-week pre-release, where we basically done your PR work for you. I'm not joking. We basically done the PR as such. I personally thought it was a great strategy. How did that go on your perspective as the community manager? As well as, how the hell did we get on that list?
How did he? So, from our perspective, it went well as well. The feedback from it was great. It was good seeing everybody's streams doing so well in terms of viewership, whether you were big or small. Everybody seemed to, you know, do quite well that way.
Mm.
From the creators themselves, everything was good as well. We had, you know, no bad feedback about the event anyway. Creators were able to leave their good and positive or good and negative feedback about the map and the loot and all that. And we took all that on board. But yeah, it was a success again from our side. It really did work well. And I think that showed on day one. I think what happened as well was when people are playing the map, some viewers and stuff were probably a little bit annoyed because it seemed a bit boring, but that might be just down to sometimes when you watch something and then go to play it, it's kind of a completely different feeling.
Buzz,
does that make sense?
That's a different 100%. Buzz,
yeah.
So a lot of those viewers, when they actually got to play it, then were like, oh, okay, this is actually quite good that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, overall, it was a success. And how did you get on board? Well, it was a decision that we obviously had the kind of limit where creators over a certain sub count, and I think viewer count as well, could get in. But we also made sure that all of the podcasts that represent DAISY, so the four of you guys, or the four different podcasts that were out there, were able to get in as well. So you could cover it on your shows, talk about it, live, good stuff.
Ah, lovely jubbly.
Amazing. Yeah, it was a super big shock to us. And we were like, we don't know who to thank, but thank you. So this is our opportunity to say thank you to you and the team.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you for promoting it and streaming it.
Oh, yeah. I think this might be maybe our, I don't know, fifth or sixth episode on Sakal so far. In fact, nice. I think the episode, as we're recording, episode next week is about Sakal. Just about really nice. The difference now between now and launch, really.
Yeah.
So just lots going on, but no, it's cool. And you were super new as a community manager, and I guess when Frostline suck out, gets one of the first thing that lands on your desk, they've gone, yeah, deal with that, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a little bit more professional than that, but you go, hey, we're having the biggest release in history, you know, second to Livonia, I guess, in... When was that, 2019, 2020? 2020, I think.
No, it was 5 years ago, I think. But 2018, 2017, 2018, I think.
Was it? No.
Yeah, it was. It was way before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Yeah. Well, anyway, the biggest release in 5 years. How challenging was that? Or I guess what was the most challenging thing you had to do as brand new Wet Behind the Ears community manager?
I don't think there was too many major challenges. Right. Anyway, it was honestly the biggest challenge was, even before it released, was getting all the streamers in and making sure everything was working that way, and making sure invites went out and people got access to the Discord and all this. And that was probably the biggest task I had to do, because I had to manually do it all, which was great. But when it released, then it was just keeping an eye on feedback.
Yeah.
Keeping an eye out for any issues that might arise. Obviously, there were some server issues, but they were over fairly quickly.
I forgot about that.
But once they were all done, so there was nothing too major that I had to do at that time. I guess it was literally just kind of, okay, keep an eye on streams, keep an eye on the community, right? Make sure all feedback is coming in, any issues that arise get reported. And that was pretty much one of my tasks for the launch.
So I guess just like the volume of information you had to take.
Yeah, there was the, okay, actually, that you've just reminded me now of that. I suppose one of the things that was the amount of requests that were coming in, whether it was in DMs or stuff like that.
Yeah.
We just, you'd come in to work at 9 a.m. and you'd open, your social inbox with all the messages, and there's 150 messages that you suddenly have to go through, and you're like, oh my God. And then you'd finish them for the day and you come in tomorrow and there's 170 messages that you have to go through again. You're like, my day. So that went on for about 2 weeks or so, and then it thankfully died down again to controllable levels. But that was probably one of the things, was the amount of messages that came in.
How does the development team incorporate player feedback and suggestions into the game's update?
Well, if we get feedback or player suggestions, they obviously get taken. We note them down and then can pass them on to the devs if it's decent feedback, obviously. Well, not just decent feedback, but feedback in general. But if it isn't something like, hey, add a 50 cal, that way it's like...
Yeah.
Add a Barrett. How many of them do you got?
quite a few.
Of course, should probably stop submitting that then, shouldn't I?
But they get put through and they get listed or sent to whoever. It depends on what the request is or what the feedback might be, right? So there'll be different people in different departments and stuff, and you send them to them and stuff, and then they go through and they'll organize them in whatever way is priority, basically. It kind of works on a priority list.
Oh, okay. Nice. Because I know the feedback tracker gets a lot of stick for how it works. I think really a lot of people just don't understand how it works, myself included. It's just it appears as a kind of a forum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now there is also a different person that pretty much has overview of the entire feedback tracker.
Yeah.
So we handle some stuff if it's needed.
Yeah.
But majority of the feedback stuff on the feedback tracker is done by a completely different person in a different side of the office altogether. And then she will go through and either respond to stuff there and then if they need help, or she'll send it to whatever department it needs to go to and stuff like that.
Basically. Okay, so, you know, if it's not stupid, it gets passed on. And then from there, it's up to whoever deals with that area, right?
Yeah, it depends on the task or the topic. Yeah.
Yeah, so if it's like a bug, it goes to, I don't know, the bug team. If it's a feature request, it goes to the feature request team. And
yeah.
But
yeah.
It does get passed on. Okay, that's good.
If it's an ugly request, it goes to Boydie.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. I think a lot of the bones of contention with the feedback tracker is the feedback from the feedback, if that makes any sense. A lot of it, we don't really know what happens with it until maybe it's fixed a couple of patches down the line, or not necessarily fixed, but whatever it is.
Yeah. I think it's done that way just to not, I suppose, maybe, what's the best way to explain it? There's probably not really, because I know some people like send tickets in or whatever and maybe don't get an answer back then and there. It's probably because either it's been looked into and hasn't gotten around to it yet, or maybe it's something that they don't want to give a response to and then suddenly it gets spread online. And then it becomes, you know, it spreads like wildfire and becomes theory and or conspiracy theory and all this. So you try to make sure you don't give any false positives, I suppose, probably be a way to put it.
I guess it's a little bit like management as well. Like, not like crowd control. That's not what I'm trying to say here, but like
riot control.
I guess you can't respond to absolutely everything. And it's not like you're putting in a ticket into your company's IT team, is it? It's not like that. It's a feedback, and thank you. Your feedback will be thank you. It's been submitted. That's really all it is. And I do see a lot of people, and you're right, say that. Well, we don't even know if it's been looked at. And I feel like people are so on a personal level with this game that's the level they kind of expect, even though realistically it's not something they should be getting.
Yeah, if there's something that take on like a bug or maybe broken or, you know, whatever it could be, if it's something sensitive like that, then you receive anything because it'll be looked into, and you know they don't want to be given out any technical information or anything like that either, right? So you just
that
have
makes
to be
sense, yeah.
careful at the same time, right?
So now you've been in like the office for a long time. Like, what is the feeling around like the building and stuff? Is there is it like proper buzzing after Frostline? Is the building like proper like buzzing? Is it I don't know what the best word, like bustling? Is it bustling? Is there a lot of work going on?
Yeah, there is a lot of work going on. Obviously, when it was released and it done so well, especially on like first day and stuff, and it kept going, it was like, wow, okay, it's a really good success. And yeah, it really did pump up everyone in the office, you know what I mean? It gave them kind of a resurgence, maybe, if that's the word I'm looking for. And yeah, it showed off that like all their hard work over that past year had, you know, worked.
Yeah.
And it worked really well. And so yeah, there's a lot of buzz going around the place, right? And everybody's happy and
high fives.
Yeah, that's one thing with the office. You know, everybody's joking and laughing and all that stuff. It's a very chill environment, but happy, chill environment, you know what I mean?
Nice.
Is the team, I guess this might not even be, I might not be directing this to the right person, but let me know if you need me to shut up. Is the team
Please.
Working to improve the new player experience? And if so, how does that compare to like working on the current like quality of life for existing players?
The new player experience.
Yeah, because you know, a couple of patches ago there was the addition of the hints and tips, for instance.
Yes.
That was stolen from us. Oh God, that was a frog.
Just the tip.
So with the it's a weird one, right? Because I think DayZ is very unique in that way that, you know, you buy this game, you jump in, and if you have no clue about it at all, you're going to struggle, right?
Yeah.
If DayZ is a game where I feel like you have to have watched a lot of content on it. That's the way I did anyway. You know, when I watched God knows how many hours of videos and live streams and stuff of people playing it. And so when I actually jumped into it, I had a vague idea of what I was going to do. I don't know if they're going to expand more on it, and that's the honest answer. The tips are good, but it is also a unique selling point to DayZ, right? Is that you load in and, well, off to YouTube, you go to find the tutorials you need to be able to survive, right?
I died. What killed me? Google it.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything killed me.
That's one of the things about it. I think that's one of the things that makes people invest a lot of time is like, right, it's...
Yeah.
With other games, oh, you get a tutorial, it's like markers, oh, go here, do this, do that. So this is less like, yeah, well, have fun. So yeah, I don't really know. I'd assume, you know, they always are. It's hard to answer, really.
Well, if you need more tips for those loading screens, we have a backlog of 111 other episodes or something like that.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I haven't put the last few on. I'm going to do it in a big one like I always do. But no. Yeah, we've got loads we could send across.
Nice. We'll keep it in mind for
some
sure.
Some of them are not family friendly. So
yes. Yeah. Beat the Meat is not one you can put on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah.
Hold My Pipe was a recent one, wasn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got. We had some merch. It was quite early on. We had some merch with the first 30 tips on it, and they were written out like a band T-shirt, like tour dates kind of thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
So they
yeah.
were written out like that, but just along the back in big lettering, it just says "just the tip." And Lady Andy hates it when I wear it in public because she thinks all the old ladies are staring at me. I'm like, keep on looking, ladies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trust the mushroom is the one I got. And Sarah's always like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Wow. Very good.
Yeah.
What last one, Dave? Last question.
The last
the
one on
episode.
This section. Yeah. So, what are the long term plans for DayZ? And are there any major features or expansions on the horizon that you can let us sort of hint at?
We're hoping for an exclusive here. A very important exclusive, Marks, all right? Don't let us down,
okay.
boy.
Okay, all right. Well, so, unfortunately, there's nothing I can share in terms of expansions or anything like that. For the game, it's you know, the same way going into... I'll assume there'll be a roadmap out at some point next year. Of what's going to be happening with the game.
Yeah, that's good.
But yeah, the game is going to be surviving as per usual, right? It's not going anywhere. Development is continuing as per usual.
Good.
And yeah, we'll be doing our thing, right? Any bug fixing, increasing performance, adding new stuff, tweaking things, the usual stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, rinse and repeat. No, that's good. Is it the first... Oh, I can't remember the order of it now. I do this every bloody year. Is it the first patch of the year? Is like a big fix patch? Is it a big bug fix
yeah,
patch?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like the preparation patch for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
Foundation patch, yeah.
So big either it's big fix logs or change logs or both. And that'll kind of get the game in a state then where it'll be able to support the updates that come for the rest of that year.
So our episode that's coming out on... Let me just get the date. Our episode is coming out on Friday the 13th of December. Dun, dun, dun. Is we talk about Sakao and certain things to do with Sakao. Now, obviously, this is coming out many weeks after. Is there still so much going on with Sakao that you could say, like, there is a lot of behind the scenes work going on with Sakao? As you know, you bounce around the office and there's people like doing stuff to it.
Again, I can't give too much information away.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, but yeah, there's still, you know, stuff being done with Sakao, right? It's not over, you know, that way. So yeah.
That's good because that's what we said already.
Yeah.
No, we said to everyone, it's over. Go and get a different game. No,
don't like it. Go away.
Yeah, chin it off.
It's going to be supported. That's for certain. Anyway, it's not ending anytime soon.
That's wonderful. Nice. That's wonderful, man. All right. Okay. Cool. I'm cool with that, Dave. Are you cool?
I'm definitely cool. It's been grand.
Cool as a cucumber. Get off the damn roof, Cletus.
I need to get my soundboard working, Andy. Wait a minute. Okay. Video of the week. Video of the week today is brought to you by Marks, the community manager of BI.
Yes. So this is an interesting one, actually, because part of my job is now watching DayZ videos, right, for Community Spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So I have to kind of watch a lot of this stuff. There's one video. Don't know. Should I keep it as a secret? See, this is the thing now. This is the thing. Yeah, I got to keep it as a secret. It's too good. It's too good.
Hang on a minute. So you've got access to a video that we don't have access to yet?
No. Everybody does. It's on YouTube.
Oh,
but I'm saying, like, do I release it now? Like, mention it now? Or do I keep it for the spotlight?
Oh, well, hang on. So This episode isn't being released till January. This podcast episode is going to be our first episode back.
Yeah, you are first of 2025. Like, you are the foundation update for our podcast. Yeah.
Well, then, maybe I can do it because I think the spotlight will be up. Should be out by then. So it is a console, DayZ console video.
Ooh, I think I know now.
Do you?
Well, someone mentioned it in my stream at the weekend, but yeah, carry on.
Don't know if you will know it, but maybe. There's been a lot of PvP content and SACAL content coming out from console players. And I think this is on a PlayStation 5, if I'm not mistaken. And I was watching this video. It's a PvP video. This guy goes into it. It's by Kingsman A-N-E, is his name. Ooh. It's called DayZ, I Destroyed a High Pop Official Server. And this guy is playing with controller, PvPing. And I swear to God, I was watching this video and I could swear he was using a keyboard and mouse. He was that quick with the controller.
Yeah.
When it came to shooting, organizing the inventory, and at points I was like, wait a minute, is he actually using a keyboard and mouse or not? And it was only when he opened his inventory to sort his stuff out that you could see the buttons down the bottom. And he was that like quick with it. And his aim was just insane that I was like, wow, this is very, very impressive.
It was on par with like PC players.
Honestly, yes, it was. The talent out there for the console players, I think, is starting to come true a bit more in videos and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're very impressive what they can do with a controller, especially in DayZ.
All these people that say, when console players say, oh yeah, we want crossplay, and then PC players say, yeah, you won't survive 2 minutes against PC players. Not this guy. This guy's got us locked.
You know, that's a funny one. I always said the same thing, right? But I feel like if crossplay were to happen, I think PC players would still have an advantage, but there would be a good handful of console players out there that could really take the fight to the keyboard.
Yeah, players. And there's probably PC players like Dave and I who would absolutely get rinsed by the most mediocre Xbox player.
Probably. You know, but it's very impressive what these console players are able to do.
All right, well, that goes in video of the week then, Dave.
Yeah,
I'd like that. Like that. And I've never heard of that content creator before, but now I have.
Yeah, I'll send the video on to you.
Hell yeah. What Dave was probably alluding to just now, when he said he thought he knew what you were talking about. Now, I'm going to openly admit, I did not watch the last DayZ live stream. I was working. To be fair, you always do it when I'm working, which is highly irritating. But this time I was in the office, so I couldn't even sneak it on, I'm afraid. But since then, we've had a few people telling us that modding or some sort of modding is coming to console.
Yeah.
What is that about? As someone who didn't watch that live stream.
So it had nothing to do with the live stream.
Oh, okay.
Thankfully. I didn't say anything on the live stream. So it wasn't me. I didn't even mention it. It wasn't anything I said. So the project lead of DayZ, Talus, done an interview with Bidey for his spotlight. And part one he released last week. And in that, Talus was talking about how, you know, they'd love to have mods on console. It's just not really possible at the moment, but they're always, you know, in talks with Microsoft and Sony to see if something is possible. And that was it. And
okay.
Yeah. So if there's any info like that out there, it's always best to take that type of stuff with a grain of salt, you know, that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had about 3 or 4 people pop in my chat. I was like, mods to console,
So it is something that, like, I guess BI would like, but the powers that be, I guess, make it not possible at the moment.
Yeah, of course, right? There's a lot of different things, and I don't know first in this stuff, but there's a lot of the different things that have to happen for something like that to work, and there's a lot of things restricting at the moment. So yeah, there's nothing confirmed. It more than likely won't be any mods on console, right? I think it just kind of, there was a video made about it, and then it just kind of caught traction, and then, you know, once something spreads, information can kind of become misleading, and I think that's pretty much what happened. It went from there pretty much.
Because I watched that video and I didn't even pick up on that. Like, from you saying that happened in that 87.8 video, I don't recall that being said. Yeah. So it must have been such a passing, fleeting moment. But then I guess the console players have latched onto it, maybe.
Yeah, it definitely was. It wasn't like a standalone topic, that, you know what I mean? But yeah, of course it would be cool, right? Who wouldn't want to have mods on every platform? But again, the powers that be just... It, it, don't make it possible at the moment.
Now we're moving on to a section called Just the Tip, where we like to provide... Why? You're giggity every time.
Fucking every time, just so I can see set you off.
We're coming on to Just the Tip, where we like to give... Oh, fuck's sake, I knew it. I knew as I started that sentence again. Where we like to give our listeners, new and old, a tip that they might not know about, that will help them either survive or thrive, I guess.
And that's a good one. There's so many tips and tricks out there and stuff like that, but what's one that I haven't shared? Now, if you'd had to ask me this last week, I would have done and said it was my fishing tip. Oh, well, not even tip, but the way the fishing stuff works, but I've already made a video on it.
Is this about the... Well, no, this is your tip, right? As if it's coming from you. A little bit of self-promo.
I guess I can still do it. So, well, don't know if it's a tip, but it's information on how the fishing works. So, obviously, with 126 in Frostline, the fishing got kind of reworked, right? And they added a new fishing hook called a jig.
Yep.
And it turns out that the different hooks, so you have the wooden hook, the bone hook, the kind of standard fishing hook, and then the jig, they all have different values. So if you catch a fish with a jig and a normal standard fishing rod, you'll catch like the most amount of fish, but I mean like the quantity of it, so you'll catch like 100% fish. Whereas if you were to use even the same jig, which is like the best in the game, but use an improvised, you'll catch half as much. So you really do have to have like the best of the best fishing gear to be able to get the best stuff. And so we went in testing all these. So yeah, the fishing hooks have different quantities of fish you can catch, obviously kind of fairly simple, I think, but the lowest one, which would be the improvised hooks, will catch the least, and the, you know, other ones that spawn will catch the most. But then it also does depend on fishing rods. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, Dave and I were talking about this the other day, that we thought that was a pretty cool mechanic. It was an annoying mechanic, but it's pretty cool. But Daisy likes to do this. It likes to test us. It likes to change things that make the game harder. And we're here for it. That's a great tip. It's a good thing to know.
Yeah, it definitely is. Especially on Sakal, because fishing is pretty much your lifeline, right?
Yeah, and I feel like fish doesn't give you the same amount of energy that it used to either. A placebo effect, but...
I've noticed the steelhead trout fish, for me, when you boil it, gives the best.
Oh, boil it? For the most...
Boil it, mass it, stick it in the stew.
Because it gives you hydration and food. Whereas the other one would mainly just give you food.
Yeah, and I guess water is quite scarce, isn't it, what are they called? They're not called wells, are they?
The springs.
Springs, there we go.
Yeah, especially if you don't know where the springs are, then yes, well,
yeah,
quite difficult. But if you know where they are, it's not too bad, I don't think.
Hey, man, do you want to be friends?
Well, Marks, I mean, you know what? We've actually interviewed a fair few people that have gone on to work for BI, but we haven't interviewed anybody that is actively working at BI.
Really?
And it's been good to get that conversation with you, not just based on your work at BI, but you as a content creator as well, because you are still an active content creator, and I think that's still very relevant. You're not just someone that works for them. You are still a Daisy fan at heart, you know, for our sins. But it's been wonderful talking to you, mate. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, it's been very fun. It flew, actually, the time. It flew, really did. And it's been good. It's been good. Unfortunately, I know some questions I couldn't really answer, and it's,
of course,
you know, NDAs and all that stuff, so I apologize for that. But you know, you'll find out more in the new year and all that good stuff. But yeah, I appreciate you having me on. It's been really fun.
You can't blame a girl for trying.
Hey, you know.
Yeah. And got a bone to pick you as well.
Uh-oh.
You set us up there with that with our community. You led us into a group chat with swine boydy, and then you were like the matador with the red fucking thing, and then we ran through the red sheet, and then you disappeared on us. So we're like, holy fuck, you done fucked us. We will never trust you again.
We thought you were going to hire us to be an official DayZ podcast, mate.
I know, really, that was all that was all Boydie's idea. So you have to have more beef with him.
That ugly motherfucker.
He messaged me and he was like, hey, get in here and say something official. I was like, all right, I guess. And so I did, and it worked.
It absolutely worked. You done fucked
it
us,
absolutely
Mark.
Worked. and our head was absolutely spinning. We didn't know what the hell was going on. We're like, what the fuck is this crazy Aussie concocted with the Irishman? What's going on?
Yeah.
Actually, before we go, I guess, now this is a bit weird. We're recording this, what's the date today? The 10th of December. It's being released, I think. Let me check when this episode's going to be released. It's being released on... Oh, shit. It's being released on the 10th of January.
Yeah.
So, how was your Christmas?
Well, how was my Christmas?
What do you do for Christmas?
Did you go home?
Yeah, well, what do you usually do? Yeah.
I am going home. I leave on Monday. So, what is that, like 6 days or something? Five days?
Yeah.
Yeah, you leave on the 22nd? Yeah.
No, the... Well, 16th. Leave on the 16th.
Oh, you got... Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm a week ahead in my head.
I had extra holidays, so I took an extra week off for Christmas, which is even better. And so, yeah, I fly home, see some family, not doing pretty much anything, just meet up with some people and then just chill out. Actually, to be honest, even when I get back, the work doesn't really stop. I have some videos I have to make and stuff like that. So even though I'll be on holiday, I won't really be on holiday for a few days. So yeah, never stops.
Well, good. I hope you have a good one. And
what do you have planned? Anything special?
What are we? We just got the normal stuff for myself. Lady Andy has quite a large family. So yeah, we just go around there and just get fucked for a few days. To be fair, we just eat and drink far too much, and then when it's like the 27th, we just have a lazy day and do nothing. Catch up on the Christmas telly and films and stuff, and pretty much bring the duvet down to the sofa.
And then the next day, he sees my ugly face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forget about that. I tried to block that out, if I'm honest, Dave.
Yeah, well, fuck you. I'm coming anyway, even if my car breaks down, I'm walking.
And Dave, what about you?
Me, I have got a couple of extra days leave, so I'm going on leave like next Thursday. Just going to take the time to fine-tune my new PC and the accessories that I've got. And... Just have a nice chill from work, because this year has been an absolute melter.
Nice. Yeah, it's nothing better. Just take a few extra days.
Yeah, I'm off until like the 2nd of Jan. So from like the 21st to the 2nd of Jan, yeah.
Yeah, 2nd or 16th to the 2nd.
Yeah, I'm working all the way up Christmas Eve this year, man.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Right, Marks, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much, dude. Yes. I wish you all the luck in your, not so new role now, but just keep killing it, man. You're doing good.
In your endeavours.
Yes, that's a good way. But yeah, I've been here over 4 months now already. It's insane.
Shit.
Oh, the furniture.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you all. I really do appreciate it. It was very good, so we'll have to do it again sometime.
Say hi to Lad and hope he's enjoying Prague as well.
I will do. He seems to be so far. I'll leave him know tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sweet. Well, thank you very much. And it's been an absolute pleasure and not a chore, like speaking to your Australian friend.
Yes. I feel your pain there.
Oi! Dave, we got many firsts in that episode.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was so good to talk to someone that's a current working rather than forcing them into Bohemia's arms.
I reckon that's what they're headhunting from our, the next thing, TRMZ and Lady Adventure are going to get hired. Week later, Amish said, they're going to have them all.
Yeah. And then when we ask people, are you Amish? They're all going to go, yeah, I've been converted.
Oh no. Or we accidentally, are we like, have you seen Book of Mormon? What are they called? Oh, they're just called Mormons, aren't they? Fucking hell.
What are the
people called that go and,
Jehovah's Witness.
That go and, preach around the world. I can't remember what they're called. Well, the only word I can think of right now is evangelicist, but that's not even the right word. It's definitely not the right word. We're that for the Amish community, so you're welcome. But I don't think they'll appreciate that we're doing it through a digitized podcast with our non-analog microphones and...
non-straw clothing or something.
Hey, there's no...
But anyway, that was our first episode of 2025.
And it was our first Irishman.
To be sure.
I feel like that's relevant.
Have we had
a Welsh guy?
Yes, I think Fungal Toes counts.
Yes, yes, you are right, dude. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, Fungal. So we've done it. We've done the United Kingdom. We completed it, mate.
We've done a Northern Irish guy.
Sorry?
Northern Irish.
Wait, is that not where Marks was from?
No, Marx is from the Republic of Irish, which isn't the Great Britain, right, which is a separate country of the EU.
I'm just absolutely terrible with that accent. I just can't.
Geography is a strong part of mine. Plus, I lived in Belfast, and their accent, I can say, is wholeheartedly well different.
Yeah, so I know. So I'm very aware that there's a difference between the Republic of Ireland and Ireland. Right.
Yes.
But I didn't know what one Marx was from. And that's on me. I take that. That's my own personal development point. All right. I'll take that away and work on it.
But so IT Crowd, Republic of Ireland.
Didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it. All right. Well, whatever then. Fuck it. Fuck it.
I'll do it live.
Fuck it. We're doing live.
Right. So I guess that's us done. But what a dude. What a good guy for coming to speak to us. And, you know, obviously he's limited on what you can and can't say, and we completely appreciate that.
Oh, so professional though. There was times where he took his community manager hat off and put content creator marks on, but he's now juggling two lives. Like, fucking, that's hard enough to juggle one life.
Like Jack Reacher.
Oh yeah.
I feel like he had two lives, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Batman, Superman.
Do you reckon Marx is the Irish Jack Reacher?
Yeah.
Well, but you said Marx is the Irish Superman.
No. Listen to this. I've never seen Marx and Batman in the same room, so I'm not saying anything.
This is slowly going downhill for what should have been a really good episode, and I feel like we're ruining it.
No, we're not.
Well, happy...
Oh, yes, you are.
Hey, Pano season's over, Dave. Thank you very much for listening to another episode of Friendly Daisy Podcast. Hope you've had a wonderful new year. We're back. We're better than ever. Literally nothing has changed, and we're cracking on. I tell you what we're meant to do at this point is shout out all of our Patreons who have subbed to us via Patreon. However, we're a month early in recording this, so maybe we can pre-record it. If I've done that, that would be entered here. Oysted, Skeetertron, Ryan, Richard, Grandpa, Ian, Brune, and Malina. Thank you very much for being Patreon members supporting our stupid little podcast. These members get to enjoy ad-free podcasts every week, and most of the time, they get it a day early. A few other bits of bonus content, merch discounts. Join our Patreon. Do it or I'll send Dave round your ass. That's patreon.com/friendlydaisypodcast. Ooh, radio voice. It's been a pleasure.
Ooh, yeah.
Be good, love you lots, and until next time.
Ciao for now.
Right, so Northern Ireland is like, sort ass.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.